السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this week's khutbah, and the topic is the Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah, all praises are for Allah, the Most Generous, who has sent His messengers as teachers and examples to be emulated, making them an embodiment of the guidance for whomsoever follows them. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of absolute love, adoration, and dutiful worship except Allah, the One, the utterly unique, having no partners in His oneness, the Master of all, the only One that's truly true, the One who clarifies and makes clear all things. And I bear witness that our Master, the Prophet Muhammad, is the slave and servant of Allah and His Messenger to the entirety of the cosmos. O Allah, send Your prayers, blessings and grace upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family, the pure, and all his companions who took from him, and whomsoever follows them in the best of ways, till the last of time, till the last day. Amma ba'd. To continue, I advise you, slaves of Allah and myself, to embody an awe-filled consciousness of Allah, for verily Allah says, وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. And surely be instructed those who were given the scriptures before you and yourselves to embody this consciousness of Allah. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us His message through every single facet of this cosmos. But in its most clear sense, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this message of His tawheed, His unicity, His oneness that is choosing to be manifest in a world of multiplicity through messengers and the message. And the reason how He does this is because for us to bring this message to our hearts, we need a qudwa, we need an example from amongst mankind. And hence Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses men and human beings from amongst ourselves to be examples who embody the message that they bring. And these are the anbiya and the mursaleen, the prophets and the messengers, who were made imamun lil muttaqeen, made imams of guidance for whomsoever wishes to follow and emulate the true message of tawheed. About them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And we made them leaders, guiding by our command. And it's because they are leaders, leaders that have to be emulated, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهُ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. They are the ones whom Allah has guided, and so through their guidance should you take an example. In other words, iqtida, to follow and to take them as an example, was the reason why they come to accompany the guidance itself. Not only do they have a formal revelation, but they themselves in their embodiment become the revelation. And that's why Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha used to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam by saying, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his character, his embodiment was the Qur'an itself. Because it was not just the Qur'an, there was the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the embodiment of the Qur'an, and this is the way with all of the Prophets. And so when the Qur'an itself mentions to us the need to take the Prophets as messengers, then we need to look into their aspects of their lives as to what is it that I can embody in my life. What is it that I can emulate in my life? And today's khutbah is about one such great prophet, the Prophet Ya'qub alayhi salam. Now the Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam himself was from the greatest of lineages. He grew up in a house of knowledge and wisdom, for he was himself the son of a prophet, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam, who himself was the son of a prophet, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. And about this collectivity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبُ. And remember our servants Ibrahim, Ishaq, وَيَعْقُوبُ. أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبَصَارِ. Those of strength and insight. إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. And indeed we chose them for an exclusive quality. We singled them out, which is what? Dhikra dar. The remembrance of the abode of the next life and the abode of this life. I.e. they would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنِ الْأَخْيَارِ.
And they are amongst us, the most chosen and the akhyar, the outstanding. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alluding to the great lineage and the fact that the prophets are chosen for remembrance. They are chosen to call us to remember. And to remember what? To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَعِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Is it not through the remembrance of Allah that hearts find rest? Because the remembrance of Allah is remembrance of who you are. Because you are intrinsically connected to your Rabb. You are an abd, you are a dutiful servant who is intrinsically connected to a Rabb, a Lord. And through remembrance, you come to have tahqiq al-ubudiyya bi iqrar al-rububiyya. You come to realize your slavehood through the recognition of His sovereign lordship above you. And this is why you then ascribe everything that is given to you as from Allah. There is no ilm, there is no knowledge that you can get, that you can claim, I took it for myself. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He describes the knowledge and the wisdom that they were given, such as Sayyidina Yaqub, He says, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. And indeed, He was a possessor of ilm. لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. Of what we taught Him. Because all true ilm comes from Allah. And the greatest of ilm is fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah. To know that there is nothing worthy of absolute worship, nothing worthy of inclining your heart to, nothing worthy of giving your attention from a position of wala, of existence, except Allah. And that's why when you realize this, then the only fruitful outcome of such realization is a life dedicated to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Sayyidina Yaqub would dedicate his life to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and call the people to do the same. And so Sayyidina Yaqub is recorded in the Quran as saying, Ya baniya inna Allah istafa lakumud deen, fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Sayyidina Yaqub is reported to say, O my sons, indeed Allah has chosen for you this way of being, this religion, this deen al-qayyim, this precious religion. So do not die except while you are antum muslimun. You are those who are Muslims, those who give themselves. And so Sayyidina Yaqub would not only advise his children, but he would advise them to worship Allah and exhort them right down to the point when his final breaths came. The Quran says, one of the things he said as death was to come to him, one of the things he asked his children was, he said, مَا تَعَبُدُونَ مِن بَعْدِي. What will you worship after me? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. They said, we will worship your Lord and the Lord of your fathers, Abraham, Ibrahim, and Ishmael, and Ishaq, إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا, the one God, واحد, and we are to Him submissive. And so Sayyidina Yaqub was constantly sowing this state of Tawheed in his children. And that's why he would often tell them, And one of the things he would tell them, whenever he'd say something, he would say that this is the decision is ultimately with Allah. And so he's reported to have said, "Inna al-hukmu illa lillah, alayhi tawakkaltu wa alayhi falyatawakkalil mutawakkilun." That the decision is only for Allah. Upon Him I have relied, and upon Him let all of those who have tawakkul rely upon. And so the person who relies upon Allah, Allah is sufficient for them. As the Quran says, وَمَن يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whomsoever truly relies upon Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Sufficient for him in whatsoever his affairs be, whether it is in the affair of this dunya or the affair of this akhirah, whether it be an issue of risk, whether it be an issue of anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always sufficient, because He is the one who is badi'u samawati wal ard. He is the one who is constantly originating every single aspect of the heavens and the earth. So how can He not be sufficient? And that's why when they were afflicted by calamity, the famous story of Yusuf alayhi salam, when Sayyidina Yaqub was afflicted of the calamity, then one of the things he says, especially towards the end, we find this story when even Benjamin was taken. One of the things he says to his children, he says, وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. He says, "O my children, don't ever despair of the rawh, of the relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For no one ever despairs of relief and a makhraj and a help from Allah, except they become people of disbelief. Because the way of the believer is a perpetual optimism. Why? Because he places his hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And so he was a person, Sayyidina Yaqub was a person of love, was a person of trust. And so he would actually instill this in his children. If we go back to the beginning of the story, that his children themselves had fallen in love with him. And such as Sayyidina Yusuf, at the beginning of the story of Sayyidina Yusuf, when he has the dream, and the dream, as we all know, was a famous dream in which he sees 11 stars and the sun and the moon, and he sees them all prostrating to him. Now, the very fact that he goes to his father to confess this dream, in the Quran it says, "Ya abati inni ra'aytu ahada 'ashara kawkaba." He says, "I see 11 stars. Wash-shamsa wal-qamara ra'aytuhum li sajidin." As well as the sun and the moon, and I see them all prostrating to me. Now the fact that he would go to Sayyidina Yaqub to confess shows a type of uns, shows a type of intimacy and thiqa and trust that he has with his father. And likewise, we see the response of Sayyidina Yaqub to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, when he says, "Ya bunayya la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik." He says, "Oh my son, do not relate your vision to your brothers. Fayakidu laka kayda. Inna ash-shaytana lil-insani aduwwun mubin." Because indeed shaytan to man is a manifest enemy. So they will contrive a plan, and indeed shaitan to man is a manifest enemy. Now what is this beauty of this, that Sayyidina Yaqub, when he hears the dream, he tells him not to share it with others, simply because he's aware of the hearts of others. And he's also aware of who the influencer is in those hearts, i.e. shaitan. And so he's saying that your brothers may start taking enmity out of jealousy towards you, but they themselves are victims in this, in that they are giving themselves to listen to the whisper of shaitan in that. And so he was giving him tarbiyah, he was giving him instruction in how these things work, but at the same time was informing him that division and hatred and enmity is ultimately a plot from shaitan that he uses, and he uses what's in the nafus, the egos and the ambitions of men, to stir this hatred. So don't you be from those people. You be from those people who join the love between people. You be from those people who repair the bonds of society. And then what happened was, we all know the story, that this was a tremendous, tremendous test. And when they came forward with the shirt, they alleged that a wolf had eaten him. And it was clear to Sayyidina Ya'qub that this was not the case. But he had no recourse. What did he say? Did he take a vendetta against his sons? Did he? No, he said, بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, rather, he said, it's your own egos that have enticed you to this act. And then what did he say?
فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ.
But sabr is jameel. Patience is most fitting, because he could see the ultimateness of this reality was from Allah. It was in Allah's destiny that this act has come. So now that this had come, what were the options? He can look for Sayyidina Yusuf, he can try his best, but Allah had destined that this imtihan or ibtila or this test would come. And what is the appropriate response to a test?
Sabr.
Because if you can meet whatever test you have in your life, whether it be naqsun min al-amwali wal-anfusi wal-thamarat, wabashir al-sabirin, alladhina idha asabatum musibah qalu inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So Allah will give you a test. He will surely give you ibtila. And he will test you in this, as the Quran says, in yourselves, in your fruits, and in your achievements. But then give glad tidings to the people of Sabah, who when these tests come, they say, ultimately our recourse is with Allah. Because to Allah we belong, and to Allah we return. And so Sayyidina Yaqub, even at this moment, while recognizing this was a deceit from the children, he said, your own selves have done this against you. This is an egoic plot, and I'm aware of this plot, but I'm going to still embody, because I am a prophet of Allah, I'm always going to embody at every moment the most correct disposition and response to whatever the test is from Allah, because I'm seeing this is from Allah. And so he said, Sabrun Jameel. So he was being an example for them even at that moment. And subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, وَمَنْ يَصْبِرْ يُصَبِّرُ اللَّهِ. Someone who's able to show patience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him in being patient. وَمَا عُوْطِيَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ عَطَاعٍ. And no one has been given anything of a gift from Allah. خَيْرٌ وَأَوْسَعُ مِّنَ الصَّبَرِ. Better and more far-reaching in its dimension of khair for him than sabr. Because sabr itself will bequeath in its wake at some moment a faraj and a gift. Because someone who is able to have sabr for Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always give an extra. And we all know the story of what was extra. What was extra was that Sayyidina Yusuf was joined back to them, and his other son was joined back to them. And when they were joined back to them at that point, after a long, long period, at that time Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam had always already acquired a mansab, a great rank in the world, while still obviously being a prophet of Allah himself. And this was a point of Allah reuniting them in this world, and also showing that the honor of the entire family had increased. And what we often forget in this story, brothers and sisters, was there was a point of redemption, a point of turning back. Because even those brothers who plotted against Sayyidina Yusuf, when the whole story gets coming to fruition, and Sayyidina Yusuf is revealed in all his grandeur as being the wazir, as being the one who's now in charge of the treasuries of Egypt, and at that point when he's reunited with his father, then they ask for forgiveness, and they ask for forgiveness from their father. And so the Quran notes them as saying, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا يَا أَبَانَا اسْتَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا خَاطِعِينَ. They said, O our father, ask for our forgiveness for our sins. Indeed, we have been sinners. They recognized that they were wrongdoers, and then they turned back to their father, Sayyidina Ya'qub alayhi salam, to ask for forgiveness from Allah. Right? And at that point, Sayyidina Ya'qub, he could have had, oh, you, this is now the vendetta, look at what's happened. But look at his nature. Look at his forgiving nature. That he says, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي. He says, I will ask forgiveness for you from my Lord. And then he said, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, it is He, Innahu, who is the one who is forgiving and is the most merciful. So he's teaching them to never give up. لا تيأسوا من روح الله. And don't ever give up on asking for the forgiveness of Allah. Whatever you've done, the abwab, the doors of tawbah are always open. And he was teaching his children that, but also teaching them where to have their tawajjuh, where to direct themselves in the sense that saying that they asked their father to ask forgiveness from Allah, but he said, you turn your heart towards Allah, because I can't do it, but I will ask Allah on your behalf. But innahu al-ghafuru rahim, he is the one who is the forgiving and merciful. And so subhanallah, we believe, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the sabr of Sayyidina Yaqub and through the barakah of his dua, that they were forgiven. Wallahu a'lam. But the point of this great story is a story of redemption, is a story of sabr, and is a story of Sayyidina Yaqub embodying all these great attributes that we are meant to embody in our lives. The ability to bear difficulty, the ability to always trust upon Allah, the ability to forgive other people, even if it be decades and decades of wrongdoing, that we don't hold grudges in our hearts, and the ability to always turn everything to Allah, to constantly see His wahdaniyah, His oneness in this world, and so that we're not busied from anything except being busy with Allah. And so these are just a short summary of just some snippets of Sayyidina Yaqub's life, but this can be extrapolated and this can be built upon and can be applied to almost all of the patterns of the Anbiya in the Quran. And so we are tasked and we are called upon to engage with this Quran in a contemplative manner, to derive the ibrah, the lessons from that, for to act upon. And the Quran says no one gets these lessons except ulil albab, those who have a heart, those who have a core, those who are engaging the Quran with their hearts. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who engage the Quran with their hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to follow all of the prophets and the anbiya, and especially the last of those, our prophet, our Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe we from those who take on that attribute of rahmah, to be forgiving and to be merciful to those around us, to be ibadur rahman, to be the servants of the rahman in this time and this age. We also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who are devoutly obedient to him, to enable us to be of those who are in the service of the way of his prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to be in obedience and service of those he's ordered us to be in obedience to. I say this and I ask Allah for forgiveness for me and for you, so invoke Him for forgiveness, for He is the most forgiving and the most merciful. And with that comes to an end this week's khutbah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This khutbah was brought to you by Idha'atul Quran, Abu Dhabi.